From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Tons of stories to get to as I close all of my windows where my stories are. That's right, almost 40% of local election officials surveyed report threats of abuse. Why four? It's not as if there's some kind of suspicion around the election integrity or anything like that, right?
That kind of pervasive narrative about the ne'er-do-wells stealing elections?
This would surprise me if somebody was saying something like that. The Olympics are nearly here, and I don't know anybody that cares about it. And the U.S. is poised to ease restrictions on marijuana in a historic shift, but it's going to remain a controlled substance. We're going to break it down piece by piece. Before we get to that, though, caused a bit of a controversy earlier because I said that Jerry Seinfeld was wrong when he said that the woke have taken over comedy and that people are being canceled. And I said that cancel culture is indeed not a real thing. I said that it was fake. And the reason I say that is because cancel culture implies that someone has done something which is so egregious that they can never recover from it. They can never come back. The leftists out there basically remove their ability to gain any kind of financial.
Yeah, they're gone from the industry. Yeah,
someone brought up Michael Richards, and that is a different circumstance because Michael Richards put himself into basically a retirement as a result of his decision to use a certain word on stage, which I think that you don't have to be very woke to understand was highly inappropriate for Kramer to do on stage.
That was
right?
A sad situation.
And he also he actually came back and started doing comedy again, and he actually showed up with Jerry Seinfeld ever so recently. So
I hadn't heard that.
He just had a self-imposed isolation because he was very embarrassed. Garrison Keillor was canceled from NPR. Somebody said that. Garrison Keillor retired. So I didn't hear anything about any Me Too anything.
I think if Garrison Keillor still brought a profitable entertainment entity to NPR, Garrison Keillor was a national treasure, but his brand of comedy had kind of aged out.
And if he got Me Too'd, I think that that's pretty appropriate if the accusations were right.
So that's
like
right.
When
right,
people
yeah.
say canceled, what they're implying is that some kind of injustice has occurred against that individual.
Yes.
So you got this person here says Last Man Standing was canceled with great ratings, but they didn't explain why. So if you read any trade rags, like how I read trade rags, Last Man Standing was Tim Allen's show.
Yeah.
And it had six seasons, and then their contracts were up, and then Tim Allen said, I want more money. And the network said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to re-up contracts for twice what they're worth just because the show is doing well. We will negotiate with you. And he said, no dice. And they said, okay, we can't afford that. And so that's why that show was canceled. It did very well for itself. The idea that it was somehow some nefarious, after six, seven seasons.
The woke left had enough of Tim Allen's common sense comedy.
Yeah. On which is it like 8 o'clock primetime network TV? Please. It said Roseanne Barr was canceled off her show because of what she said. What did she say? Does anybody remember? I remember what Roseanne Barr said.
I remember we were asked not to say it on air.
I mean, I'll give people the abridged version of it.
Yeah.
She referred to black people as primates. Is that someone who should be entitled to? Does a network have to pay somebody who has that kind of language? I don't think so. Is that being canceled by the woke left? It doesn't sound like it.
Like a network making a business decision
at
that point.
This doesn't really make a lot of sense. Like, everybody has all these bad arguments regarding people being canceled, and I think that it's partially because people don't understand how networks work or how contracts work or what you agree. Like, in my contract, I have signed a certain ethics agreement with the company that owns this radio station. If I violate that, I will be fired. Is that cancel culture, or am I contractually obligated to adhere to that ethical standard? This is where the confusion is, because the phrase has been thrown around so much that people don't even know what it means anymore.
Well, that's an excellent example because it's exactly what happened to Roseanne.
Yes.
In her contract also stipulations about how you will conduct yourself as an employee of this broadcast company.
Right. And if you refer to black Americans as primates, I'm pretty sure that there's not a lot of media companies out there that could really foot the bill on that. Do you know what I mean? Like that's not being canceled.
It's a PR nightmare.
That is a PR nightmare.
Yes.
Cliff in Woodinville says canceled does not mean can never, ever work never again. Yes, it does. That's exactly what it means. It means that you have been removed from the social conversation. If Jack turned into MAGA Jack, he'd be off Cairo, canceled. No, I wouldn't. You can listen to John Curley every day between 3 and 7 to get all that MAGA information. goes on to say, if he then moved to Anchorage and got another radio gig, would you then not consider him canceled? It would be illogical to then think C. Jack wasn't canceled. It would be logical because I'm not canceled because I got another job. That's exactly how that works. Like, if the idea is that the woke left follows people around and they everywhere they go, they're going to the network and applying pressure. And if they relieve that, that means that there is no culture. That means that it was a one-time event, a one-time occurrence. I think people want it to be real because they want to be victims.
There you go.
I think that's exactly what it is. Yep. Like, I've said some crazy stuff on this radio station. Like somebody once accused me of saying that I thought that Palestinians should be put into camps. Did you guys hear about this?
No.
So when somebody asked me for what my solution was in Palestine, I said that what they needed to have was humanitarian aid for the civilians. Mm-hmm. And in said camps, they need to process and do psychological evaluation on said people in camps.
For post-traumatic stress disorder,
but also to weed out who is part of the death cult of Hamas.
Okay, yeah.
That person took that quote and they made a big conspiracy out of it. And they said that I said that Palestinians deserve to go into camps. And then they said that Cairo Radio took that episode of the podcast down. And the only way that they were able to find it is because Jake Skorheim responded to me. Now, what they did not realize is that when I said that day, we had a fill-in producer who did not log that into the podcast. And so the podcast didn't go up. But they didn't, you know what I mean? They just posted on the Seattle subreddit that I wanted to put Palestinians into camps. Do you see how, like, people are foolish? People make narratives, and people like to engage in victim culture. If you want to talk about what's really going on in the United States, we have victim culture, which largely comes from leftists and conservatives who are always whining about how they're the most oppressed people out mm-hmm. there. Well, the real people who are truly oppressed are all the common sense regular folk, much like myself, who say regular, run-of-the-mill, banal things and get called everything from a Nazi to a socialist to a communist to a far-right agitator.
Well, that's how you know you're doing it right.
Exactly.
Every
my
side's
point.
Mad at you.
So everybody's wrong except for me. 40% of local election officials surveyed report threats of abuse. This is according to a new report. This is a Brennan Center. And they also found that 62% of local election officials are concerned about political leaders attempting to interfere with how they do their jobs. I wonder why this is the case. I do wonder. Mayhap. Who would be spreading information that the election needs to be monitored? Who would be telling people that they should show up to these centers armed if necessary? Who would be saying such? I don't know. Is it Joseph Robinette Biden, the raisin doctor? Is he the one who's saying things?
I don't think it is.
Who is saying these terrible, awful things about our election officials? I know who it must be. It must be that evil woman, Nancy Pelosi. She's the one who's going around telling people that the elections have all been stolen, right?
You know, I heard somebody saying that they were promising that a certain political group of a national committee of one of the major parties in our country was going to pay election monitors to be in polling places, touching every single ballot to make sure it was valid.
The Green Party would do such a thing?
I don't think it was them.
Jill Stein over at the Libertarian Party?
I'd
slip in my tongue here. You know, I'm going to go back to a gentleman, a Chief Culp out there, who has never once questioned election integrity ever for any reason, because he's a fine, upstanding citizen and would never lie based off of Facebook memes. I say that as a statement of opinion, not a statement of fact, for legal reasons. We have fine, upstanding people out there who believe in the integrity of our elections, who would never tell people to forcibly enter a someone's voting booth to ensure that it's not being manipulated by Ethernet cords, right?
Right. And those two ladies who won, $150 million in settlement because their lives were just upended?
Threatened by Democrats, right?
No, I don't think it was.
Was it not Democrats? Because no, I thought it was Democrats who were talking about, it must be.
R is for Rudy.
What's
apparently
her name out of Georgia, that young lady who lost the election to Brian Kemp?
Stacey Abrams.
Stacey Abrams. She must be the one who's going
maybe
around telling people that the election was stolen.
Well, she did say that the sitting Secretary of State shouldn't have control over an election that he was running. And that was her election denialism. That's
right.
You're right. That's what it was.
Right. Gee whiz, Laura, I'm having such a hard time being sarcastic for so long. Who out there has been telling people that election officials are people who need to be intimidated? Do you have any idea about this? I'm getting hints of like bronzer and getting wafts of McDonald's cheese. I just
vision of an ill-fitting suit.
It's ill-fitting suit,
long red tie.
I'm really it's long. Like a very difficult thing for me. Well, I will just have to leave it up to the text line who's putting that out there, right? I mean, it's a sad state of affairs, is what I'll say.
Yeah,
that you have people who volunteer to go out and work. Some of these people get paid, some of them volunteer, and they are now feeling as if they are under threat of doing their jobs based on the rhetoric of, again, slips my mind as to who that person is.
Well, 4 out of 10 have been not just under fear of threat. They've been threatened. They've been harassed. They've been assaulted or abused. 4 out of 10 election workers, who many of them are no longer in the industry, where there's a shortage of election workers.
Yeah.
Elections have been taken over by operatives who have a belief, who have bought into a narrative of a stolen election.
Well, hopefully we can get to the bottom of who's spreading these lies, yeah. And hopefully we can understand who's really the most, because that person must really be a garbage human being to spread lies based on their own egomaniacal presuppositions as to how elections unfold. The start of the countdown clock for the Olympics begins today in exactly 100 days. Is it? No. What is it? It's 90-some-odd days now.
Right? I don't know. I don't know the exact start of the... These are in Paris, the Summer Olympic Games of Paris, France. And actually, I tell you, my family is going to Europe this summer, taking the kid on a long postponed graduation trip.
Oh, this is your dad addiction kicking
yeah,
in.
Yeah, well, no, you know, hey, come on. But anyway, my kid's going to Paris along with their cousins.
Are they paying for this?
No, it's a graduation present. It's a family graduation present. All three kids graduated from high school in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to send the older two years ago, but pandemic postponed that.
Mm-hmm.
All three are going to Paris.
So dad's footing the bill.
Dad's footing the bill on this one. Yeah, it's just that once-in-a-lifetime memory-making trip.
Nice, right? Hotel rooms?
Very nice. And that was the thing. They wanted to stay in like hostels and Airbnbs, and I'm like, no, you'll be staying at a reputable, we also speak English, security camera to hotel. Okay? Right? But this is why I know the Olympics are coming, because okay. Paris has been deemed one of the highest pickpocket places on the face of the earth.
Okay.
And with the Olympics coming to town, the pickpockets are coming to town. So I've been trying to instill in the heads of these 20-year-olds and an 18-year-old that you just can't assume you're like at school or at your hometown of Seattle, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to travel the streets of Paris.
Well, how can they pick pockets when the kids are gonna be looking at their phones instead of looking at the Mona Lisa?
That's the first thing we had to tell them. Don't look down. Keep your eyes up and about.
What I'm saying is, you get your phone and you're not looking at the Eiffel Tower and you're not looking out.
You're missing all of it. You're right. Looking at pictures of the Eiffel Tower.
You're looking at it through your phone as you take a picture.
That's the truth, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do you know there's actually a study that came out that you actually retain memories less when you were looking through a phone?
I can believe it.
It affects the crystallization of that memory.
As exposed to appearance, your eyeballs,
your actual eyeballs.
Your brain. That makes perfect sense.
So as many as 325,000 onlookers shall be going to the banks of the CN to look at the hundreds of athletic events hosted by dozens of venues across Paris, so everyone can see how ugly Paris is. Have you guys ever been?
No.
Really? Man, what an ugly city is Paris.
I love Paris, but I have seen articles about tourists, especially Japanese tourists, going and then experiencing this intense disillusionment with how
Paris?
They thought it would be.
There's actually a name for that in Japan. It's a specific mental illness that only occurs with Japanese nationals. Have you guys ever heard about this? Let me look this up really quick.
I know they just fought off a nasty bed bug epidemic in Paris. Seriously.
You go and you see graffiti and you see trash. And you know, also French people are like maybe not the nicest to tourists.
I've heard the rudest in the world to tourists.
So it's called Paris Syndrome. Great name, whoever.
Who could have thought of that?
Who could have thought of that is the question that I asked myself. And my thing is frozen. My little screen deck is frozen. So around a dozen Japanese tourists a year need psychological treatment after visiting Paris as the reality of unfriendly locals and scruffy streets clashes with their expectation.
Aww.
Yeah, and it is a real thing that basically only happens to Japanese people.
Oh, so my kids will be safe.
Your kids will be fine.
We're Americans. We expect less.
But Paris is a fairly ugly city, right? I mean, it's just all
city of lights.
It's all cafes and baguettes and whatnot, right?
I'm on scooters. Board with all of those things.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
art and scooters and wine
I prefer
and cheese.
To be in. I only feel safe in God's country, which is why I don't leave the United States. I don't want to go anywhere else, right? Because if I die, I want to die in the United States.
Sure, that's where you spend eternity.
Right, that's what I'm saying, right? I mean, you think I want to wander the earth and on the banks of the CN? No, thank you. Who am I going to run into? Karl Marx and Jim Morrison? Ew, get away from me, you guys. Gross. Beards? Oh, I can't stand it. The U.S. is poised to ease restrictions on marijuana in a historic shift. It's going to remain a controlled substance, but they're going to remove it from its previous allocation as a Schedule 1 drug.
Yeah, well, along with heroin, right? Cocaine?
Heroin, cocaine.
Right.
Actually, cocaine, I think, is less on the list.
Than marijuana. That's just ridiculous.
Schedule 1 is that it shows no medicinal use, which as a former heroin user, I can tell you that there's a lot of medicinal uses for heroin.
Used to be prescribed on a regular basis.
Sure, but there's the Schedule 1 is that there is no scientific information.
Okay.
And so cocaine is a Schedule 2 because they actually use cocaine to paralyze the muscles in the eye during surgery.
And teeth too, right? To a small degree.
I think mostly in the eye is what I read about it. So.
Well, the government is going to step in and reschedule marijuana so that will allow a couple things to happen. First off, to your point, more medical testing for the medicinal and therapeutic uses of cannabis, mm-hmm. which is good. Also, the recreational marijuana industry suffers from a lot of inhibitors to progress. They can't make a lot of money. In the traditional, I'm all scattered here. I'm talking about potting.
Jeez,
my mouth starts drying out.
Here,
it's a flashback, Jack. It's all a flashback.
Wait, do we need to talk about Spike's? Do we need to talk about Spike's weed habit here?
30-year clean, people.
I think we finally need to talk about this, Spike. Come on, okay. We can be honest. Actually, Spike, we were gonna pose a friendervention on you because your lack of weed habit is becoming quite disturbing. Okay. Laura and I have talked about this. Andrew and I have talked about this.
Okay.
Behind your back, of course.
Well,
that's where interventions are.
Because this is a problem, Spike, is that everybody thinks that you're under the influence of cannabis.
All the time.
But you're not.
Not.
So it might be a good idea for you to start getting blown out of your mind again on cannabis. Try to balance that out a little bit, buddy, which is why we're giving you an all-expenses-paid trip to one of those weed resorts that they have down in Humboldt County, down in the Emerald Triangle, as we call it. And you're going to get loaded out of your mind for 30 days.
Right.
Is what you've won.
Well, tell them what he's won, Johnny.
That's what you've won there.
So, what I was trying to say before my mouth dried out from memories was that as they reschedule marijuana, now businesses who are in the recreational marijuana business can now take tax deductions for the cost of doing business in the recreational marijuana industry, which hadn't been the case as it was a Schedule 1 narcotic.
So it moves pot to a Schedule 3, which puts it alongside ketamine and anabolic steroids, or as I like to call it, Andrew, a Tuesday. There we go. So following a recommendation from the Federal Health and Human Services Department, again staffed by Joe Biden, once again, I do think, though, that people do this thing with pot where they say it's a panacea and it's going to fix all these problems mm-hmm. and it's so great for everybody. And I can tell you, as someone that has a very bad mental reaction to marijuana, mm-hmm. doesn't fix all your problems. If you're someone like me, about 25% of the population, cannabinoids just do not function
don't work
well
for
in
everybody.
The brain.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so I think it's important. Like, I actually had genetic testing and all the red flags, opiates, cannabinoids.
Clicked them all,
yeah,
huh?
Clicked them all. It was like, you got to stay away from those because they don't do well with your system.
It's not for everybody, but they'll be able to find out what medical benefits now, and they'll be able to use, businesses will have the benefit of tax deductible things. It's still not illegal. It's still not decriminalized.
No.
Coast to coast.
No.
So you can't do interstate trade and all that kind of stuff still. But this is a necessary step to get in there.
REI loses $311 million in 2023. It's the second year in a row it failed to turn a profit. I read this story. I thought, well, I don't shop at REI. I get everything through Amazon. Light bulb. Ding.
There we go.
Do we all have an addiction that we're not talking about when it comes to ordering useless trash online? We're going to talk about it when we get back right after this. We got a YouTube channel where we make digital exclusive content that you can go and check out. Spike and I like to crack wise downstairs before we do the show. Sometimes it's politics, sometimes it's on advertising, sometimes it's just stuff alive. Culture.
Stupid people doing stupid things.
Are we addicted to getting everything through Amazon? Well, REI has lost $311 million in 2023. It's the second year in a row that it failed to turn a profit. Now, I know that you can go to REI and you can buy stuff from REI.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that you can go to REI on Amazon and you can buy stuff through Amazon.
Yeah.
And so my thought about it was basically like this. You look at any study about human being activity. depending on where you are in the United States, it's higher than it's ever been. People love going into the out-of-doors. Now, sure, maybe if you're in McAllen, Texas, that's a completely different story. That's the most obese town in the United States.
But really?
Yeah, McAllen, Texas is the most obese place in the United States. But the my thought about it was this. Are we not profoundly addicted to just getting it through Amazon? We're just going to order it through Amazon. I buy things from Amazon that I know that all I have to do is walk up to the Capitol Hill Safeway and I can go get it there. Probably takes me 45 minutes to do the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Or I can wait a matter of a day and then I will have it delivered directly into my mailbox and I don't have to go anywhere. I am profoundly addicted to getting things through Amazon. I think it's a huge issue. And I think that's probably why REI is having such a hard time, because when you go on to Amazon and you look at the REI products, right next to those very expensive REI products is the cheaper Chinese alternative.
That's the problem.
And I think
problem.
That's what's going on, right?
I think Amazon will survive. They're almost 100-year-old Seattle
company.
You
mean
company. REI? REI, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I think Amazon will survive, too.
I think Amazon will be
going
okay.
on a limb here.
Yeah.
Thank you for that cleanup. Cleanup on aisle spike. REI does a wonderful job. They've got a great product. It's the experience of shopping at an REI and the community of experts that can work with you in REI. That's the kind of thing you can't get from Amazon.
Right.
To your point, though, we're trading that for convenience. We're trading that for tighter budgets with inflation impacting everybody's ability to even do recreational stuff. That's the first thing to go, are the peripheral things from your budget.
Yeah.
I think those are factors in REI's second year in a row without turning a profit. Plus, by the way, since they're a co-op, right, they're employee-owned,
mm-hmm.
even though they lost $311 million last year,
yep.
they paid out $200 million to their employees last year.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and REI says they're going to readjust how they do things. Most of the layoffs were in the managerial levels.
Aha, exactly what we should be doing here,
right,
Andrew.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
They're building new distribution centers, REI. They've got like stores in 40-some states,
so
coast to coast.
When I was a kid, when I was 14, I signed up for a backpacking trip in New Mexico, which was in the highlands of New Mexico. So it's, you know, most people think New Mexico being a desert.
No, it's high desert.
High desert.
I got family down there.
We're going up like 14,000 feet in elevation.
Yeah.
Walking around in the high desert, and I had to go get I had a backpacking backpack, but it was kind of the thing that was like, oh, I don't know, it was kind of thing you see in like Footloose, do you know what I mean? It was like a 80s,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
external frame backpack that was basically in pieces. So my uncle takes me to the REI in San Jose, California,
mm-hmm.
huge REI. It's kind of one that got climbing wall in it.
Yeah.
You got the bike track, so
yep.
you can try the bike.
The greatest.
So we go in there. Getting all the supplies that I need, and it's, we're racking up a lot of money, right? Because you got to get all this Nalgene water bottles and all
sure.
this other stuff. And then we get to the backpack section. Now, I was an underdeveloped 14-year-old. I was a little teeny tiny 14-year-old. And so they kept sizing me down until eventually we got to the girls section.
Oh,
it's okay. And so they had a brown-colored one, and the guy who was helping us was like, this is good for you, someone your size. And I was like, it is. And so... puts it on my back, and my guy says, how much weight is he going to be carrying? And my uncle, being that he was a full-grown man, says, oh, I believe at least 80 pounds. Now, at the time, I probably weighed somewhere in the neighborhood of about 105 pounds. Right?
There. That's not good.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
do the math.
So this guy decides, well, the surly gentleman over here clearly knows what this young man can handle. Let me go. So he goes in the back and he gets these weighted bricks
mm-hmm.
to fill in this internal frame backpack. And they load it up to 80 pounds and they put it on my back. And it's exactly the scene out of a movie where they say, okay, are you ready to carry it? And I go, yeah. And then they walk away from me and I immediately tip
back.
I'm
so sorry.
Immediately go backwards. And then I'm like a turtle on my back,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And everyone's then looking at me because the sound that I made that I fell was kind of like the sound that, like, I don't know, like an elephant makes when it gets punched. You know what I mean? It's, right?
Okay.
And so I'm on my back. And so this guy thinks that, well, I'll just take this 105-pound kid and we'll just yank him back up onto his feet because
mm-hmm.
that'll make perfect sense. Not realizing that I am now sum total is spread out about 185 some
right.
odd pounds, right? So as he goes to yank me up, the centripetal force of me being on the ground with the weight pulls his body onto my body, and he lands right on my face, and I burst into tears. Ah, is what I'm doing.
So you've never been camping?
So from everybody else's perspective, what it looks like is now I'm being attacked by an employee of REI, and I'm bursting into tears, right? So the manager comes over. My uncle's trying to get this guy off of me. It's a comedic nightmare. I am sobbing beyond belief, and my uncle is like, okay, do you want to go check out with your backpack? And after all this entire thing, I go, yes. And so I'm now standing in line as I can't stop. I can't because I'm frightened. I'm scared. I'm 14. I'm like doing that kind of crying where you're huffing God bless this man. He's trying to get me to calm down. So he's like, Jack, calm down. Calm down. It's okay. Just breathe it out. Just breathe it out. But then he starts getting really kind of aggressive with it. So he's like, stop crying. Stop crying!
Yeah, oh, that helped. Wow.
I just couldn't handle it. But anyway, I walked out of the REI with a brand new backpack.
But you know what happens? If you buy that backpack online and don't get the right size and don't know what you're going to do,
you get none of those traumatic memories.
Well, then you're out in the middle of nowhere in the back of a car. You put on this backpack and fall over. You can't get up. Your internal organs are exposed to the wild creatures of nature. And you're eaten alive. Your tasty entrails have now become the food of nature.
Hanford's new plan to clean up 56 million gallons of nuclear waste involves turning it into a different substance. This is fascinating science. I had no idea it was a thing, but more importantly, I had no idea that it was so expensive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I also had no idea that it's just been hanging out for a very long time.
Hanford's history is a troubling story.
It is a troubling story, but the plan to clean it up is actually pretty interesting when it comes to science and learning things and so forth.
Progress.
Progress. Yeah. We'll talk about it when we get back right after this. Nuclear waste. I wonder how many young lives have been lost thinking that if they touch the nuclear waste, they would get superpowers. Stan Lee's got blood on his hands, right? You ever thought about this?
I mean, yeah, it's awful.
I mean, it's true, right? I mean, basically, Stan Lee's entire career is, so how do they get their powers? Nuclear waste. Flew too close to the sun. And you're like, oh.
Gamma rays, radioactive spiders.
Radioactive right? spiders. I mean, everything right. that Stan Lee basically put. Laura, you're not a nerd, so you wouldn't understand this. But basically, Marvel heroes, basically, if they have powers, it's some kind of radiation. That's basically the trump card there.
Okay.
Well, that's how we dealt with the fear.
Is it worth asking about the origin story of
Andrew,
radiation?
Save that drop for Laura. I need Andrew. I need Laura saying okay in that way. And I need every time I say something.
Okay.
I need that drop for future reasons that I can't.
Let me give you some options.
Thank you.
Okay.
So this was the youth of America at the time when Stan Lee was doing all this. By the way, just quickly, we were being told every day that Russia was going to blow us off the face of the
earth.
Sure, we had air raid drills when the bombs were falling.
Thankfully,
we're supposed to hide under a desk.
Thankfully, we've got radioactive fluids right here in Washington State because Hanford
so much
got a lot of it. And the original idea was to put it into glass, right?
Still
it was
the plan.
Well, there's a new. Did you read about this new plan?
I'm seeing it, but I'm scared of it.
Well, so there's this alternative plan. It's called grouting, which involves mixing radioactive fluids and chunks into a type of cement. And although it seems like it's very expensive, I think that it might be a faster plan than the glass plan, right? Because glass plan, they had this back in the 90s.
Yep.
And the original $4 billion glassification plant was supposed to be ready by 2009.
Uh-huh. And done by when?
2019.
Right.
And it's now, let me check my watch, Wednesday. And they haven't even started yet.
Right.
So, target was for glassifying all waste by 2052. But now it's been moved back to 2069.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like this might be a better use of everybody's time. Right?
Because they're going to still do the glassification. It's going to start in a couple of years. They hope to. But they're also going to do this grouting, which is, like I said, mix it with a cement.
Yeah, basically. It's to take the fluids and basically put them into the cement mixture and make them more, I suppose, more amenable to the glassification process.
Okay. Makes sense to me. That grouting is then used in residential bathrooms to put bathroom tiles up and work as a nightlight.
No,
what is?
No, it's just and the other concept they have though is that to basically put them in. Do you see the picture of this? Basically, you take the concrete mixture and you put it into these like gigantic vats, basically, and then you bury the vats, and then you take them out piecemeal for the glassification process.
Okay. So so here's the deal. A third of all Hanford's 56 million gallons of radioactive waste is leaking.
Right. I know. I understand that.
So the grouting is going to make it more secure as they can get to glassification.
Exactly.
I got this.
You see what I'm saying? So it's basically taking the fluid and the liquid and then putting it into something that's a little bit more stable.
It doesn't drip as much into the water table and the Columbia River.
Right. And then you won't have three-eyed fish and boys that think that they can fly, right?
So I like this.
I mean, science is cool and all that jazz. But I wish that people would just get on. Why can't we just have more nuclear stuff? I feel like we would just be better as a society if we just relied on nuclear as opposed to relying on other hydroelectric. That's so old hat, right?
Yeah,
that's so Hoover. You know what I mean? Can't we update it? We're supposed to be in the nuclear age, man. I mean, there's a nuclear power plant in California. Why can't we have? It should be all over the place.
Well, that's because Hanford is such a nightmare of a cleanup project. This may kind of ease people's fears and anxiety about expanding nuclear power?
Yeah, I just don't think that people should have it at all. I think that people should embrace the future as I have embraced the future, and we should move on with our evolution as a species, and just everything should be nuclear. Nuclear phones, nuclear baby monitor, nuclear everything, right? Nuclear would just be better. I want a little reactor in my iPhone everywhere I go.
In your home.
So every time I drop it, I can watch my life flash before my eyes. That's what I want more than anything else.
It would keep people a tighter grip on their phones.
It would be, but I'm just saying that the nuclear has been shown time and time and again to be very clean, very efficient, very cost effective. And because we've had one or two little slip ups.
All because of antiquated technology.
All because of antiquated technology.
Right. Okay. Earthquakes, new nuclear power, that's hard to say fast, is safer than it's ever been.
Or we could go back to living in teepees. It's your call, America.
And digging for dinosaur juice. Sure.
Andrew, A+, my friend Nate Connors. Dang, is that a sky blue hoodie you got on?
Yeah, let's go with sky blue.
Is that even zipping up in the front?
It's right up there on the Adam's apple.
Jeez, Nate. Yeah, real time.
You can still see his physique through it, though.
You can still see the chiseled Adonis-like physique through that hoodie,
my friend. Thank you.
Laura, A+. Appreciate it. Spike O'Neill, C+ today. Thank you. Give me a solid C+.
Working my way up.
Here's your quote of the day.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Jack, calm down. Calm down. It's okay. Just breathe it out. Stop crying.
Yeah, oh, that helped.